Welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil. As always, I'm Shane Stetsony, he is Brent Smith. Brent, we've had a little over a week to unwind from Antigo. Of course, Crandon just a couple days away, rounds 5 and 6, the Forest County Potawatomi Brush Run races. But let's unpack everything from Antigo, which, oddly enough, I just literally did a couple days ago. Any big surprises or any memorable moments that are going to stand out to you from the Antigo Off-Road National?
Yeah, I mean, just a tricky weekend. That's all I can really say about it. I mean, nothing other than you couldn't really do anything in the second round on the weekend because the rain was treacherous, right? Like a lot of guys and girls probably just felt like they didn't get a fair shot at it, but that's what we've seen in the past at Antigo, and I think it was just not a surprise, but just a nuller disadvantage to the drivers going into the final day. I mean, a lot of racetracks, if you ask me, we probably wouldn't even have ran.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's probably a big takeaway for me, too, is, you know, challenging weekend for everybody. You know, the people behind the scenes, you know, we had it the easiest of anybody, probably, because we were just indoors the whole time, but you know, thinking about our production team and camera crew, and, you know, they had to sit out through the weather, and the fans still showed up even when it was rainy in the morning. There were still people coming in and staking out their spots in the bleachers. You know, they put up with that weather. Of course, Antigo, those great covered grandstands kind of makes it a little bit easier to manage. But, you know, still, you go down to get some cheese curds, you got to walk through the rain to get there. And the fans still showed up. Obviously, the drivers still brought their A game to it. I think despite the challenges, the rain really didn't get in the way of, on the whole, all of us having a pretty good time for the most part.
No, I thought it was still pretty well put together. I mean, we had to deal with the law of the elements, but we had some of our camera crew had to come right down from their stands because of the lightning. I mean, that's just off-road racing. A lot of fans you talk about that stayed around, they would have been heartbroken if they would have never been able to watch. I mean, a lot of people traveled from a long way throughout the evening or before the race day to get there to watch off-roads. And I think that's what separates the men from the boys, right? You have to change your program up a little bit, throw some more tear-offs, figure out your tire grooves. And, you know, I think it levels the playing field no matter how much horsepower you have. So I believe that it was just, it was cool to see, but it was Antigo. Red clay Antigo.
Yeah, I'm still picking it out from between my toes after having to, you know, we tried not to have to cross the track too many times. But like we said, that stuff, the red clay is a mark that your clothes will bear for the rest of your life as long as you own that pair of shoes. One update, if you were watching on Sunday, round four at Antigo, so Mod Cart and Youth Side-by-Side did race, but Short Course Cart, the 170s and 200s and the 570s, we decided not to run them in round four. They will race Friday, so practice and qualifying day of ERX. They'll get to make up that round, which is great for those kids that they get the track time that they should have. A little bit extra action on that day on top of all the practice and pro qualifying. That's the update on those three classes. They'll get their full slate of 12 rounds for the season. But going back to Antigo, I think my other big takeaway, we wondered when Mickey Thomas would really plant a flag in Pro 4 and really show that he's arrived. I think he did that in round four. You know, Cole Mamer got out front, looked to be impossible to stop, and then rolled all by himself. Thankfully, he's all right, and the truck was relatively okay. He'll be back out at Crandon, but the battle that ensued, you know, CJ got out to a comfy lead, and then Mickey Thomas ran him down and was roughing him up a little bit. That is encouraging. That was great to see.
Yeah, you don't see that every day. And I think that's what we need to look forward to and talk about more and more, because you just don't catch CJ Greaves sleeping or catch him off his A game. And Mickey Thomas has put the program together with a lot of great people around him, and he can drive a race truck. Don't matter if it's Pro 2 or Pro 4. I mean, he's really shown up, and we talk about arriving. Well, yeah, he's there, and I think he's here to stay. And I think the mid-track is going to be cool coming into Crandon for him. It's going to be more of a short track, but at the same time, I can't wait to see what he does on the big tracks.
Well, someone else who showed up in a big way at Antigo was Avery Hemmer, Prospect winner in round three. Again, we saw that coming because we saw her debut back at the final rounds at Crandon back in 2024. She was fast right out of the gates in that truck. She was wicked fast in the mod carts. We knew it was just a matter of time. You surprised at all by how early she was able to get it done?
Yeah, Shane, she's so quiet, but she's so great at what she does. Like, she just, we call Mickey Thomas that silent assassin. I just feel like she's just working right in the same atmosphere because she is just so good at what she does. She comes from a different sport of snowcross and transitions into off-road racing in the summer, and she does a phenomenal job. I mean, we had a chance to talk with her up in the booth, and she says it's laid back, it's fun to drive, and she's excited to see what's next. And I think she's going to be one of the best in the class, if not off some of these dudes in the class.
Title contender this year, yes or no? What does Brent Smith say? I can spoil it a little bit and say that, yeah, it's early to talk points, but right now the top four from Visser in first to Hemmer in fourth, it's only 14 points through four rounds.
Yeah, it's never too early, dude. You know exactly. Anything can happen. You can take yourself out of the whole points chase just in one weekend. So the sportsman having those weekends that they get to drop, that'll help them out. But Avery Hemmer, watch for her to be a big contender in late in this season, because she's always right there, and it seems like at the mid race she's within striking distance of that podium.
I think the word that I've used to describe her a couple different times in conversations in the pits is that she's a Terminator.
Right.
I think she's, you know, always has the game face on. You can tell she's always completely locked in, not just, you know, when she's near the race truck, but just in general. Like, she is, you know, she stands on business. She is there to do one thing, and that's compete for wins. So I'm going to agree with you. I think she is a contender based on what we've seen through four rounds. She's a contender this year to win a championship. I believe it.
Yeah, she's one of the best in the class so far, and I don't see her slacking any weekend. She's just going to keep getting better and better, as a lot of these other drivers are in these divisions, especially in the Pro Light.
Well, yeah, a guy that I think made a big step forward in Pro Light is Joe Machosik. Of course, was able to get on the podium for his first time in the class in round three. Maybe that comes with the caveat that Johnny Holcher had some bad luck that day and was out of that one early. But that is off-road racing, and Machosik able to get that podium. And you spotted it right away on practice qualifying day down in Wheatland.
Yeah, he really did. He looked smooth and he looked confident, and they're not an easy truck to drive and just get behind the wheel and be so confident right away. But he's shown that all his past driving experience that he's done really transitioned in a great way for him, and he's doing a great job coming into the mid track in Crandon. I think he's going to take off where he left off in Anago. He looked really quick there. He showed that he could battle and open up his elbows a little bit. I mean, I think he's going to keep being right there for the podium. To win in that class is not easy, but don't throw him out of the mix. I mean, I believe if you give him a chance, he's going to pounce on it.
Well, yeah, and coming into Crandon, he has years and years of seat time at Crandon. You know, obviously not in Pro Light. He'll be making his pro debut at Crandon.
Oh, I believe he does, if not more. I mean, he's been around for a long, long time, and he knows where the ruts are. He knows where the corners are. He's been there every weekend that he's been able to run in super stock trucks. So he'll put all those mental notes together and then transition it into the Pro Light. And it's got to be exciting for him. It's got to be very motivating for him to get to Crandon in a pro truck, because I know that feeling. It's really cool. But for him, I think he's really going to do big things.
One more driver I want to single out from Anigo. Well, there will be a few more, but one more that I want to single out for really showing up in a big way is I gotta give some love to some of my buggy guys. How about Donald Reitzel? I had a conversation with Donald over social media before the season. He talked about how much work they've done on that car, and he said he really felt confident. He straight up told me, I feel like I'm going to surprise some people this year. And obviously 1600 buggy, really, really tough class. Started 16th in round three. and carved his way through the field for his first Champ Off-Road podium. He ended up in third. That was impressive. I mean, you're becoming an appreciator of buggy classes. That was really fun to watch him work his way up through the field. We kind of always had one eye on him because it was, you know, he was the action. He was just, you know, cruising by people.
Yeah, he looked really confident. And right, so to move up that many spots in one short race is huge. And it's going to drag him into Crandon and know that he can do that week in and week out. And I think it's just amazing when you have an open wheel car and you have that many drivers to pick your way through is not an easy task. And he made it look really easy.
By the way, I didn't know this until we were at Antigo and I saw it across at the top of his rock screen. Apparently his nickname is Hoss, which is, for my money, that's a great racing nickname. So, yeah, I guess look out for the big Hoss at Crandon in 1600.
The big Hoss. I was trying not to laugh. I love it. The big Hoss.
Well, one more thing that I guess surprised me from Antigo, knowing how competitive our pro classes are, out of the 7 pro classes, we had 5 sweeps. We had Michael Meister going 2-for-2 in pro buggy. Ryan Beat swept in pro 2. CJ Greaves in pro 4. His pro 4 undefeated streak at Antigo, now 10 races.
10-1. Unreal.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Jeb Boodle sweeping pro side by side kind of gets lost in the shuffle of CJ's big streak, but to win 2 straight races in that class is ridiculous. And then Colin Truitt, pro stock side by side, he seemed to be the most satisfied, the most thrilled by his own performance, just because all the bad luck he's had going back to the beginning of last year, even down in Wheatland, Colin Truitt did not have a very good time down there. Finally able to put it together, stay out of the worst luck.
Yeah, you talk like anyone in a racing career would love to have like a big fan or a big supporter. I mean, he supports himself so well. He has so many confidence going into any race, and he knows he can win, and he backs it up, right? I really love the dude. He's really great at what he does. He's fast. He built new cars. He's doing what he needs to do to run up front, and he's showing, you know, hey, there's other guys around here other than CJ Greaves, and he really puts his foot down.
Well, we talk so much about confidence, and for good reason, because when we do have a chance to talk with drivers, like even when we had Avery Hemmer up in the booth at Antigo, we asked her about confidence. She said, yeah, it's huge. You have to have that trust in yourself. You know, Truitt's always had the confidence. Now he has confidence, results, like I said, momentum. That is, like, look out if you're in pro stock side by side. Deadly combination right there.
Yeah, once you get that momentum, it's like anything, right? You're in a basketball, football game. If you don't like racing, you can just look at what it does, right? It transitions in a better way. If you can win a couple races and show your competitors that you mean business, it's really scary. I don't care who you are. When you go up against a guy and he can lay down 2 great days, it's like, man, what are they doing? You go back to do your homework. Like, all right, are we going fast enough? Is it me as a driver? What is it that, why is he kicking our butt? And Colin Truitt's doing everything to make everyone wonder that way.
Any of those other sweeps surprise you at all? I mean, Beat was red hot coming out of Wheatland, so I don't think that one's all that surprising. I guess I have a pick, but out of Boodle and Meister and CJ and Ryan Beat, any of those surprise you at all?
Jeb Boodle, because he's in a new car setup from the Greaves. I mean,
that was my answer,
right,
too, by the way.
I know, and it was hard. Like, what do we say, CJ Greaves, right? Like, but yeah. Jeb Boodle, he did what he needed to do, and to run into the players is in that group and to kick everyone's butt. He showed that he means business the rest of the year, and he's going to be one to watch. I mean, he's really done his off-season homework, and it's really paying off.
You know, I think back to the last couple of years for Jeb Boodle before making the jump to Polaris. Had some speed, but also, especially in pro side-by-side, seemed to have issues with bad mechanical luck. It wasn't
right.
It wasn't for lack of good prep or anything like that. He has the resources. He's had the support all along, but to get that monkey off your back, I think, again, that feeds into the confidence. I think it's overblown to keep hammering on the momentum thing. You know, like when I watch pro football or something and they, you know, a team will score a couple quick touchdowns before halftime and then, oh, they're coming in with, I don't buy it. I don't, like, momentum isn't a thing like that, I don't think. But the amount of confidence that these drivers who swept there in Antigo are going to carry into Crandon, when you stack up a bunch of bad days, it feels like you're stuck in quicksand almost, where everything you do, you're struggling. It seems like you're fighting against yourself. You can't make any progress. But the flip side of that, when it feels like everything's fallen into place, it almost feels like it starts to get easy, I think.
Yeah. And you just know that your prep is that much better. At least, I mean, from what I've seen over the years, that, you know, if you can win a couple, you know, you're doing everything. You're crossing your T's and dotting your I's each and every time. And I agree with your momentum and everything with normal everyday sports. But like, yeah, if you could win a couple races, that makes it not easier, but yet in your brain, man, if I could do it, why can't I go do it again and again and again? And that's why some of these guys and girls go on these streaks and these winning streaks. We've seen it in the past because, hey, if they know how to fix that car and maintain that car and make sure it's fast each and every time and they can adapt to it, well, hey, you got a rocket ship plus you have a great program, and normally that comes to the top.
Well, I mentioned how tight this pro spec points battle is, and again, the pros this year racing 15 rounds. We're only through four of those. It's a long way to go. So, you know, pro spec top four separated by 14 points. Another really close one in the pro ranks. Pro stock side by side, defending champ CJ Greaves trails Owen Van Eppren by 4 points. And Owen has been close a couple times, both in pro side by side and in pro stock. That battle seems like there's a lot of elements there. You have Polaris against Yamaha. CJ has been the dominant one across three classes over the last, you know, 5+ years. Owen, one of the younger guys in the class, even though he seems like he's been racing it for 10 years. That's a really intriguing battle. I think it has a lot of entertainment value. At least for me, it does.
Well, it does. It's one of the races that I look forward to out of the 19 that we call on the day. I look
forward to. Is it that many?
Yeah, I believe maybe 20 on Sunday coming up. Just wait, buddy. And I think that it's always fun to watch because not only that manufacturer's battle, but it's these drivers are very well talented and they're building the best of the best rides, right? John Fitzgerald building the Van Eppren cars. You have CJ and John Greaves building the cars for them and Boodle and other drivers. It makes it so fun because, hey, it's going to come down to who can drive that machine the best at the end of the day. And I think that's what it should be when it says pro behind that name.
One sportsman class that I do want to single out as a tight points battle. And again, sportsman will be 14 rounds. So a long way to go and still have those drop rounds that we've mentioned a couple times. But 570 side by side, one of the most fun classes last year for us to call, even with all the drivers that have graduated out of it through their three rounds after their Sunday race was postponed. Top four, Grayson Arneson, Peyton Weisbrod, Matty Winnestorfer and Cody Krantz separated by 5 points. So I think,
wow,
just like we saw last year, where that class is going to have 4, 5, maybe 6 drivers in it, in the fight, right down to the final round. I think more of the same. And man, isn't youth racing fun here in Champ Off-Road?
Yeah, it is. It's such a blast, Shane. And we have so much fun calling these 570s, especially all the little kids' classes. But hey, it was a good choice and a great call by Carl and all the guys at Champ Off-Road,
yeah,
because it would have been a mud bath. It would have been a mess. It wouldn't even have been a fun race for these drivers. So I'm sure they kept their fire suits nice and cozy and got them ready for Crannon. We'll get to see what they do, even though we do or might see some rain coming into Crannon.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some mud racing, because I did share a picture of Evan Hocker's, you know, covered in mud, like his face, you know, covered in mud with just the whites of his eyes sticking out through the mud. And I said, good old fashioned mud racing. And obviously a tinge of sarcasm there. But, you know, as a fan, I've enjoyed watching the two rounds of mud racing that we've had so far. I know the drivers don't like it. And, you know, the partners on the sides of the cars maybe don't like it quite as much, but a little bit fun for us to call. You get different people that bubble up toward the top. So far in the sportsman ranks, because they've had to deal with overnight rain and two different rounds at two different tracks so far, this might be the year of the sportsman mud dog. So Rick Schroeder in Pro-Am Turbo, he's 2-for-2 in mud races. He won in round one and round four. Brody Disher got his first win in sportsman side-by-side in round four at Antigo. Also had a then-career best fourth place finish in round one at Wheatland in the mud. And then Andrea Sterk, who I didn't put this together. Andrea Sterk, who finished fourth, she went from 13th to fourth in the mud in sportsman side-by-side. I thought I recognized the name and I couldn't figure out why. And it's because before she was married, her name was Andrea Berger. Her brother is Ben Berger. Her dad is Bill Berger. So she is a three-time women's ATV motocross national champion. She's done a ton of racing on four wheels already with handlebars.
Well, that makes sense.
And she had a great day in the mud. And she actually had a post on Facebook. Here's a direct quote. Mud, water, chaos. It played right into my old school moto days. So no surprise that she was able to pick her way through the field in basically the worst imaginable racing conditions.
Yeah, she did a very nice job. I mean, 13th to 4th in any division is crazy to do. But yeah, I like how a driver will go back to their old days and remember what got them through, what made them the driver they are today. So that's cool that she can transition and make it all work in Champ Off-Road.
I don't remember if I asked you this at Antigo or at Wheatland for that matter, but all the racing you did, stock truck, super stock truck, do you ever have to race in anything like that? I'm sure you had to at one point. But
yeah, I think it was like, I want to say maybe 04, 05. It was muddy. Yeah, I think it was 04 because that's when LeDuc won with the Skyjacker truck when it was really muddy and it was a 3-day weekend, I think. And yeah, we put the number plates up on top and did the whole shebang. And luckily we did it because I think it was Sunday round that my brother ran. I think I broke on Saturday and we had the number plate. That was the only way that we could see the trucks and the cars go around. And it was just a pain in the rear end because you just couldn't see. Your hands are just full of it. And right, I think we were wearing DC shoes back in the day. We didn't even have fire shoes or nothing on. So we're just like, all right, hopefully it all goes well.
The old tech director, Terry Severson's going to listen to this and he's going to be giving you a phone call.
The good days. But Antigo, you always brought 3 pairs of clothes, 4 pairs of clothes extra because you knew it was going to be a mud bath. I remember getting done with a race and I think we broke the drive shaft and the rain was coming down so hard and the tornado sirens were going off and trying to get the cars back. Ran in the back of the pickup. One of my crew guys did in the back of the with a mini bike and just it was nuts. I don't think there's been an Antigo weekend where we went, Shane, in our lives where there hasn't been a chance of rain or we've never seen a washout.
Well, you mentioned that, you know, tentatively rain is in the forecast for Crandon. I had forgotten this because, you know, we have goldfish brains when it comes to remembering recent racing events. That's why I keep my notes that I keep. But remember, we got, I hate to bring this up to even risk the jinx, although I don't believe in jinxes or luck or anything like that. Last year, we did get rained out one day at Crandon, hoping it doesn't happen again. It doesn't look like the weather is that severe, but there is a chance for rain on Saturday. So again, maybe the year of the mud dog continues.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to be ready for whatever gets thrown at us. It seems like Mother Nature likes to throw us a little bit of water. But Crandon, remember all the years back how they transitioned it into a great drying track. Like it runs off well. There's good drainage. So whatever we get, I'm sure Cliff and the boys and whoever else is working on the track will get it done and figure it out. So I think their heads are going to have to just keep going forward. If we do have a mud race, well, you know, those sports and side by side and therefore they're going to have to be ready because it seems like there are new track cleaners on the race series.
Yeah, I will say that no track handles rain like Crandon does. You know, a lot of the cancellation last year was because it rained heavily all night and then just kept raining and kept raining and kept raining. Finally, it was like 2 p.m. and the rain hadn't stopped. And, you know, at that point, you got to cut your losses. It's not supposed to be like that this time. You know, scattered showers maybe Friday and then maybe a little heavier rain on Saturday. At least that's what it looks like at this point as we're recording. And again, take everything we say about weather with a grain of salt because I can look out the window and tell you it's not going to rain, that it's not raining and it'll start. That's how it works for the two of us. But yeah, the track drains really well. I've seen racetracks that looked not raceable at Crandon become fantastic racetracks within an hour, 90 minutes.
Oh, for sure.
All the drainage really they've added, like you said, over the last 15, 20 years goes a long way to mitigate all that.
Yeah, and they're ready for it. And that's why, I mean, we really shouldn't worry that much, even though no matter what we get for rain, like you said, last year was just a little bit too much rain throughout the day. But yeah, all the new upgrades are where they need to be. And I think we're going to have a fast, fast track going into the weekend. And we see a lot of great competitors throughout this season so far, but we have some newcomers that are going to be showing up at Crandon, I hear.
Yeah, a handful of drivers making season debuts. Pro 2, you've got Dave Mason Jr., who hasn't raced in Pro 2 since 2023, I believe. You also have the 2023 champion, Corey Winter, coming back. Again, he's running a part-time schedule this year. Aaron Holiday and Patrick Dennis both making their season debuts in Pro 2. Dave Mason Jr. also racing in Pro Buggy. I know Lorenzo Bonacci has had Dave's car and has been getting it prepped, getting it ready. Pro Spec, you got Justin Tesmer coming back. He's got some new partners on board. You know, he was close to a podium finish on World Cup Sunday last year. Had a really great day. So that's another competitive driver in that Pro Spec field. In Pro 4, Bradley Morris is coming back to Crandon for the first time in a while to mix it up with the big dogs. And also, Paul Wolf is going to be there both rounds. So at Antigo, he was only there for one of the rounds. He only could make it for round 4. He was at an Ultra 4 race. We had a chance to chat with him a little bit, and he said, that's it. That's the last overlapping date. So he is going to be behind the wheel the rest of the season in his Pro 4 truck. And by the way, the race that he was at, that he couldn't make it to round 3 at Antigo, he won the UTV Open Class and 4400.
Yeah, no biggie. Just got that done. And then, we might as well travel 7 hours, go to Antigo.
Sure. I remember I asked him, I said, well, hey, how'd it go down there? And he goes, well, I won. And I said, oh, of course you did. That's seems like, you know, half of his social media posts are him on top of a podium at an Ultra 4 race.
Yeah, and he just went into the other conversation. He's like, yeah, I won. Yep, like, no biggie.
Yeah.
But you kicked
he also said it was a rain race down there. And he's like, I just got the mud washed out of my eyes in time to get here and get in the Pro 4. So talk about a guy burning the candle at both ends.
Oh, yeah. They're good people. And it's great to have him around. And he's going to be one to watch in Pro 4. He's a great driver. And they're getting comfy. Remember what he said, Shane? He's like, yeah, now we're tuning in to go fast, right? We're not tuning in just to keep it running. We're trying to get faster.
Yeah, trying to find the
that speed.
He was making the 5% leaps and bounds just to get in the neighborhood, and now he's dialing in the 0.1% here and there just to get the truck really working and get comfortable in it.
Right, right.
Well, as always, race fans, this podcast is brought to you by Amsoil. If you love power and performance and you love saving money, you could become an Amsoil preferred customer and save up to 25% on Amsoil products and receive free shipping, exclusive promotions, and more. Visit Amsoil.com and sign up to be a preferred customer today. Well, Brent, you know, Crandon this weekend, I'm excited because, you know, I've said this both at Wheatland and at Antigo that I love the tighter technical tracks, but, you know, variety being the spice of life. Fans are ready to see some high speeds. We need to let these horses run in some of these big classes, the pro classes. I'm excited to get back to Crandon. I'm excited to get to my hometown. I was able to visit actually last weekend for just a little while on Saturday. Drove past the racetrack a couple times. Brought back the sense of excitement that I used to get when I was a kid. So I'm really excited to be back there in the booth with you. You mentioned this earlier. We'll be running the mid-track layout for all the points races throughout the weekend. So you'll go through Argonne Corner and then make that hard left up the hill through that tight, what we call the cowboy cutoff. And I was thinking about that. I like that different layout. I like that there's, you know, a couple different Crandons that we see over the 2 weekends. But I was kind of thinking about how much Crandon has changed in our lifetime from when my earliest memories being there as a little kid, watching guys like Jack Flannery and Robbie Gordon, how much different the track looks. And even going back and looking at old photos, even photos from not that long ago, how much different it is. Talk about that a little bit. How drastically the shape of the track, not necessarily the layout, but just the shapes of the corners and things have changed.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's been crazy. I remember going back in the late 90s and the early 90s as a kid, but like to see less trees and more of the width of the track getting bigger. I mean, you can see a lot more. You sit where we broadcast, you can see pretty much the whole track now.
Mm-hmm.
And the corners are so much more banked. The gravel pit is banked. Calamity Corner even is banked more. The jumps are bigger, more floaty. I mean, a lot of guys would say that they're a hard-hitting jump now because you're going so fast. But Crandon has changed in so many ways. Just the crowd and how big and how the layout has changed and the parking and the camping, how many different areas that we're camping at. I mean, as a kid, we only seen them go back by the barn kind of a little bit and then square off over by the road by the camping entry. But now we're going miles deep into the woods. I just think it's so cool to see Cranon and how big it is. And for you to say you had to drive by it a couple different times, I remember, it just gives you goosebumps, right? Just driving by Cranon and just knowing that that's the big house. And I get that feeling no matter what time, day or night I go by that place. I just think it's changed in so many ways, but still kept that warm, heartfelt feeling.
I'm going to sound a little bit like old man yells at cloud. I'm going to sound like a baseball fan who's mad about the changes in Major League Baseball with the pitch clock and stuff. You'll back me up on this. The track at Cranon now is, even though some of the jumps are bigger and the landings are a little bit harder, part of that's because the speeds are higher because the track is much, much friendlier to drivers.
Right.
And for those of you who are new or newish fans to short course off-road racing, go on YouTube, find racing from Cranon from the early 90s. There's a couple different people that have posted, you know, both like home movie style videos and you know, old TV broadcasts. Go look for Cranon in the early 90s. Turn one was off camber. It's banked now, so the further out you get, the higher it goes. It used to be the opposite. So it used to drop off from the inside lane to the outside. You know, at one point they had like a water crossing jump down before the barn jump. They've moved the barn jump back, so now you don't feel like you're going to fly over the highway when you jump it. The gravel pit, like you said, is banked. That used to just be flat. You'd see guys blow that corner and go like 150 yards too wide. That's how the jump record was set by Jed Flannery, by the way, back in like 1996. Went way, way too wide, dropped the hammer and jumped 165 feet or whatever it was. It's much friendlier to drivers now. I miss some of the rugged charm of the old style of it. You remember like the Land Rush start used to just be basically moguls all the way up and down. And you have trucks like bouncing up and down next to each other on those crazy starts. You know, that's all smoothed out quite a bit now. I do miss the, like I said, the ruggedness of the old track.
Oh yeah. Like it's not as rough as it used to be. I mean, especially in front of the front doubles, if you get bored, like Shane said, you go and watch those on YouTube. There was so many jumps in between the two jumps in front of the crowd, and just to watch those suspensions work on Jeff Doerr's truck. And
yeah, the old leaf spring class fours.
Yeah, it was so cool. And to see the difference from the good old days to now, we got to really respect how well the track is prepared. I mean, they're on a highway. A lot of guys will say it, man, you got a power plant, you can go at Cranon.
But that's what makes it fun. And that's what brings, you know, that much more variety. I've made the comparison, especially at Antigo. I said Antigo is kind of like the Martinsville or the Bristol of off-road. And Cranon, for a long time, has been called the Daytona of off-road. And that's what it is. It's a different style of racing. Not much drafting on an off-road track, but drop the hammer and set sail. That's the kind of racing it brings. And again, different people, different skill sets can rise to the top a little bit. Can be even more dramatic when you're racing at such high speeds, especially down into the gravel pit or these Land Rush starts through turn one. Obviously, that's the most dramatic moment that we will see is some of these big Land Rush starts.
Yeah, and that's what Cranon's all about. That's why they call it Daytona, like you said. I mean, they hauled the mail through turn one, and I love it. I love each and every lap. We love that Land Rush. I mean, the fans love it. That's why we try to get them entertained and keep them involved in that turn one, because, man, I know it can end your day early in one single start, and that's what sucks about Cranon, but it can also be a great day if you can pull that whole shot.
Well, Mr. Brent Smith, I think we're going to have two great days at Cranon, rain or shine. Fans will be coming at you live on Flow Racing from the Big House, 9:45 a.m. Central Time this Saturday. That is the time for opening ceremonies, rounds 5 and 6, the Forest County Pottawatomie Brush Run races. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL.